Happy New Year, everybody. I pray that 2025 is going to be a step up from last year and that we experience the Lord in a greater and more abundant way as we continue to follow him together as a body. Amen? Amen. So, Lord, just be with us today, Lord. And Lord, just really move on the hearts of your people, Lord. Let them hear from you today, Lord God, and let them be able to contribute and share what they hear from you, that we might all be encouraged and edified in Jesus' name. Amen. So, you know, we're going to go back to Matthew 14, and this is a very similar story that we've heard many, many times. And so, you know, beyond the story, and we've been talking about this a lot, is, you know, beyond the parables and beyond the stories, there is a meta message or a message beneath the what appears at the top, right, in the surface. And so as we are continuing to grow in the Lord, we should be experiencing the meta message by the Holy Spirit every time we hear the word of God. It should be tripping or triggering something deeper in the Lord and something personal and specific for each and every person. And so it's my hope that as we continue in the Bible study, that we start sharing more with each other what the Holy Spirit is speaking to us, so that we might, like we prayed, be encouraged and edified. And we all have something to say. You know, maybe you're not real comfortable in sharing a whole, you know, paragraph of ideas or what God is speaking. Maybe it's just a word that you get from the Spirit. But see, that word can be connecting one person's sentence to another, and it could bridge something that is a whole part of the picture. So I want everyone to be able to share whatever they feel God is showing to them. And not one of you, when you hear the word, when we're in the scriptures, goes away without hearing something from the Lord. That I am confident of. And I know we all have our reticent, you know, we're a little shy sometimes to share, but you don't know what you share could mean to somebody else that is hearing the word. And I'll just share one example. One of my friends, she's a missionary. Her name is Bonnie Goss. And, you know, she was in church, and this lady in front of her, she smelled really good. She had a really nice new perfume on, you know. And Bonnie just felt that urge to say to the lady, you know, you really smell good. And doesn't it seem like an innocent thing to say when you're greeting somebody? But the woman started crying. She said, all the whole way here, I kept thinking, I stink. I stink. Man, am I terrible. And so she kept hearing these lies over and over again. And the fact that Bonnie said something that seemed innocent enough really changed the way this woman was hearing God say, you know, your presence is beautiful to me. Your fragrance, your prayers, they're meaningful to me. You're sweet. You know, your face is lovely, you know, according to Song of Solomon. So you never know those. It's those little things that are so random sometimes. And it's the ordinary things that we experience in life and not always the extraordinary things that really are meaningful and can mean something to somebody else. And what a great way to test out that you're hearing from the Spirit. Because really, if it would have been not God in it, and the woman just said, thank you, would anything terrible have happened? No. That's how we test hearing from the Spirit, is by exercising faith in just those little moments. And then we build on that to something where then, you know, as time goes on, you're able to say something that is maybe a lot more elaborate, you know, or maybe, you know, you grow in the fact that you're speaking prophetically to somebody, and you grow in the fact that it is from God. You know what I mean? Like, I do this with the Lord a lot of times, especially in my early days, to test the voice of the Lord. Well, we know it has to be in line with Scripture, right? There has to be the witness of the Holy Spirit. But in my head, I would have this thought, you know, this person is really struggling today. And you send up a quick prayer or whatever. And I'll say, you know, Mary, so-and-so was on my heart today. And I do that. I share it with somebody else so that I can see if I am hearing from the Lord. And then later on, if I get a phone call or I call that person, they say, yeah, I was really struggling this week, then I know that I've heard from the Lord. And it builds my faith to hear more and more clearly the Lord's voice. And that's how I kind of work it out. So I encourage you to try that sometime. You know, just follow those little, still small voice when it comes to you and act on it, whether it's a phone call, whether it's sending a card, whether it's a prayer. But if you want to find out if you're hearing from the Lord, test it out. Share it with somebody and say, look, some things are very specific and really out there. Like, well, I felt like this person was in danger this week at such and such a time. I'll share that and then say, you know, how was your week? And then you find out, oh man, I just missed an accident, you know, and it was really bad. So that's how we train ourselves in hearing the Spirit of the Lord, but also too, we hear the Spirit of the Lord, especially in the Scriptures and in the Word of God. Okay. So that's my little encouragement for the day. So back to Matthew 14, we'll start, I believe, in verse 22, but remember, this was on the heels of Jesus multiplying the loaves and the fish. Remember, in that story, he blessed and broke the bread and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples then gave it to the multitudes. And remember, too, that in verse 20, they all ate and were filled, and they had 12 baskets of the fragments left over, one basket for each disciple. So when you're sharing something that God has given you, even if it's that small little sentence, that small little phone call, small little card or word of encouragement, you will be the recipient of something that much greater, just like the disciples. Each had a basket full of the fragments. You will have more than enough. So it is that whole principle of giving out what you receive from God. It will come back to you in a multiplied fashion, right? Okay, so verse 22. This was after everybody had eaten. And again, there were 5,000 men and women and children. You figure how many kids per family. You know, back then families were big. This was probably close to 15 to 20,000 people by the time you add in four children and a wife and all that, right? So anyways, 22. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, about 3-4 a.m., Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." and they cried out for fear. But immediately, now look in verse 22, and then again here in verse 27, immediately, but Jesus immediately spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." And so Jesus said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and he began to sink, and he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And when they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. Okay, I'll just finish. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent out into all that surrounding Egypt region, brought to him all who were sick, and begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched it were made perfectly well. So you see the results of this story at the very end. What that brought is the ability to see signs and wonders, and every single one that touched the hem of his garment was made perfectly well. That's miracles. They didn't have to wait. It was done immediately. So we know that in the middle of the storm, God leads us. It's God who leads us into the middle of the storm. It was the Father and the Holy Spirit that sent Jesus in the middle of the wilderness. And oftentimes when we're in difficulties, we automatically think it is the devil, right? But oftentimes God sends you in that place because he wants to show you himself in a greater way, that he's the overcomer in the wilderness, you know, through every temptation, and that he is in the middle of every storm, that he is with us, and he is bigger than every storm that we face. So as Jesus was led into the wilderness, so oftentimes we are led by the Lord into the storm. The storms and our crisis and our turbulent times don't necessarily mean that you've done something wrong. Oftentimes, it's because you've done something right. If you are ineffective for the kingdom of God, and your life is not a challenge to the enemy, there would be no reason to experience some of these refining circumstances, right? And so it's important to know. Because, you know, sometimes you find yourself in crisis and you're, you know, belly button gazing, and you're like, "What did I do to deserve this?" Maybe you did nothing wrong. Maybe it's that you've been on the path. What is the model that we follow continually? The cross and resurrection, right? And so it is the cycle and the model and the very principles that lead us in our Christian life, right? There, with every Good Friday, there's a middle part, you know, and then there's Sunday comes, you know, the resurrection comes. But how many of you know that in a storm or in a wilderness situation, we are in the middle and it's hard, right? And our hope is that it's going to pass and that the word of the Lord is true. This too shall pass. Being in a storm or being in crisis is an opportunity. It's an opportunity to find in the fire gold, right? It's an opportunity to really press into the Spirit of God in a way that keeps you from drowning, right? And you know, it is in human nature that we, like Peter, find ourselves sinking, you know, because of fear. Fear is, it's a strong indicator of our humanity, you know, and as we grow in the Lord, we become less and less fearful. Now, I know personally, fear was, and I would say it was linked to anxiety too, because that's fear, right? If you're shy, that's fear as well. So for me, it was always a dominant force growing up, waiting for the other shoe to drop, waiting for the next bad thing to happen, always thinking everything wrong in the world was my fault. Now, if you've grown up in any kind of addiction model in your family, you often feel and struggle with those things of that false guilt, you know, or that false sense of shame when you really didn't do much. You know, sometimes it's just something that we inherit in our bloodline, you know. And for me, that was the case. And it took a long time overcoming fear. And I mean, anybody that knows me, I fought it all the time. I would be the one walking with a knife, right? Ready to take on the enemy, because that was my reaction to fear. It's like, you are not taking me down, I'll take you down. But it still was fear. See what I mean? If we withdraw out of fear, or we fight when we experience fear, it's the same root problem. It's fear. Okay. So over time, we learn God is faithful to us. He is good to us. And like the psalm says, his mercy and goodness follow us after every trial and every tribulation. So, you know, we may not be experiencing that right in the midst of it, but it follows us. We'll look back and we'll say, yep, God was faithful there. He really was faithful. He is a good, good father. And, you know, how many of you know that, you know, we bring a lot of baggage into our lives as we walk with the Lord. And it takes unlearning. It takes unpackaging some of the lies and strongholds that we are, you know, connected to. And it's a process, right? And the minute you think that you got it, can somebody go check the heat, please? The minute you think that you've got it, it comes again at your doorstep, right? If you've ever had deliverance from anything that was a strong part of your life, you will know that at the most inopportune time, that the enemy is right at your doorstep, ready to get you with the same thing. Sometimes it changes, right? But oftentimes it's the same kind of struggle. And for me, you know, fear was one of those things. Okay. And what we need to do is we need to continually press into the Lord, know that his word is truth. I have not given you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of self-control, sound mind, discipline, all those things. Thank you. And all of those things. So the storms have a purpose in teaching us something. And they also remind us that God is faithful, right? Sometimes we think God is too small for that situation. And when he shows himself to be greater than, we learn something in our inner core, in our inner man, that we build off of. And then we start unlearning, unpackaging those negative things, and start building faith, more faith, and more faith. And some people have a gift of faith, don't they? I know, you know, some of my friends have just astounding faith, faith that makes me want to say, oh, that can't be, that can't be. But it challenges me. And when I get in line with what the word says and what the spirit says, then that faith starts to build, right? Okay. And also, too, in verse 22, when we were reading it, Jesus says, I'll see you on the other side. See, he's in it with you. He's there before you. He's in it with you. And he is waiting on the other side as well. He can do all those things all at once, right? He can be in our past. He can be in our present situation. And he is in our future situation because he's all that. He was, is, and is to come, right? So isn't that marvelous about God that he's all that? Okay, so Jesus says, we'll meet on the other side, and he commands us to go to the other side. We don't want to get stuck in the middle of our storm. We don't want to wallow in the middle of our storm. If we find ourselves sinking, we know that the word of the Lord, just like it was with Peter, is get your focus on me again, and you'll be all right. You'll be able to defy the things that want to drown you. You will overcome the things that are rising up against you, like those waves, right? Now, understanding that these guys were experienced fishermen. They were used to the squalls that would come up from where they were situated on Galilee. They were used to it. So a lot of times as older believers and as mature believers, we can find ourselves in a greater situation, in a greater storm, where we're used to trials. I'm used to certain trials, okay? I'm used to trouble in my life. I'm used to problems. Well, if as much as you can get used to them, you know what I mean? But my life is probably complicated like everybody else's, and we have our good things going on, and we have our challenging things, and sometimes it seems endless, doesn't it? But after a certain while walking with the Lord, you're experienced with trouble. I mean, as a church, we're experienced with things happening all the time. It doesn't even surprise us. We shouldn't even be surprised at those tribulations, the scriptures say. But every once in a while, in your maturity, you find yourself in a place that is way over your head. It is about to drown you. I mean, whether it's financial, whether it's physical, whether it's relational, whatever it can be, right? We find ourselves in that place, and we find that God is deeper still than all of the things that we face. Donna Boson, you know, quote, if we find ourselves in a pit, he is deeper still. If we make our bed in hell, he is there with us. So there's not any place that God is not unwilling to go with us. He is God with us, Emmanuel. If the disciples truly understood that reality, they would have enjoyed the storm. It would not have deterred their faith. If they understood what happened prior to that, God is able to bless, break, and feed thousands. On the heels of that, they're experiencing something that they should have said, hallelujah, God is able, he is victorious, right? I mean, how many times have you been in a challenging situation and you find yourself just like Elijah, like, where are you, God? You know, where are you? You know, I was faithful to you there. I gave away the loaves and I gave away the fish and I did all that you commanded. And yet here I am in a storm. They should have been celebrating how powerful God is on the heels of what he had just done. And we find ourselves in that same place, right? When we should be celebrating how overcoming, how victorious, all that God has accomplished in Jesus Christ, in his person, in the death and resurrection, all power, all dominion, All positions were given to Jesus, and yet we find ourselves, instead of celebrating, afraid again. They should have enjoyed it, right? And they should have had that revelation that Jesus is faithful and Jesus is good. You know? Nothing can drown us if we still have Jesus. If we still have God's purposes to fulfill in our lives, and we are in God's hands, nothing by any means can threaten our lives and take our lives. Nothing can drown us, right? Because in Him, we have the ability and the opportunity to put the things that want to kill us, want to drown us, want to bury us, want to put us under, and we defy those things. We walk on water. We walk through fire. That's what the scripture says in Isaiah. You know, if the water overflows, you won't drown. If the fire is there, you're not going to be burned. And we see so many examples of that in the scriptures. In Hebrews 13, it says, I will never, ever leave you. And in the Greek text, I will never forsake you. In the Greek text, it's, I will never, 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 never forsake you. And in our storms, we remind ourselves, we encourage ourselves, as David did. Why are you so downcast, O my soul? Hope in God. We remind ourselves, He is our hope. His promises are true. Even when the wind is against us. Even when we can't see Jesus, Jesus sees us. When we're in the storm and we can't see Jesus and He's put us there, Jesus sees us in our struggle. That's amazing to me. They couldn't see Jesus, but Jesus saw them. And Jesus sees us. He knows exactly the longitude, the latitude, how high the waves are, how deep the water is. He knows. He sees you right where you are. And isn't it more important that Jesus sees us than we see Him? We see Him in faith, right? But He sees us. We've all had times of darkness. And like I said, it is more important in those times that God sees us than we see Him. For our vision is limited, right? We can only see in part this side of eternity, but one day we'll see face to face, but He sees us. He sees us like He sees the sparrow. His eye is on the most minute, specific details of our lives. So we need to be encouraged that He sees us. In verse 25, let's read it. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. This is the fourth watch, probably about 4 a.m. And it is the most darkest time of the night. It is the most hopeless time in our struggle. The darkest and the time when we experience the least amount of hope. Remember when we read earlier, immediately, Jesus, Jesus does it all the time. Immediately, Jesus, immediately, when Abraham was told to lay Isaac on the altar, immediately, God intervened. Immediately, he provided the ram just in time. And Jesus, we say it very trite, like, God shows up just in time. God does show up just in time, you know? And sometimes he comes in ways that we don't recognize him. Here, Jesus looked like a ghost, right? Jesus comes to us sometimes in camouflage. He appeared as a gardener, right? And they didn't realize it was Jesus. He appears here, walking on the water like a ghost. I mean, he comes in camouflage sometimes. Sometimes we think it's something bad, right? It's a ghost. I'm scared. It's Jesus. And he comes in ways that we don't recognize. And so we want to always have that attitude and that tenor in our heart that's looking for Jesus like Peter did. Whoa, you know, when Martha and Mary saw Jesus, he came immediately and right on time, even though Lazarus had died. And their question to him was, oh God, this reminds me of Donna Boson again. Oh God, if you had just been here, if you had just been here. And you know what? Peter might have been saying the same thing. If you had just been here. Hey, Peter's the one that risked going out on the water. Everybody else was in the boat. Thinking, oh God, in this storm, if you had just been here. If you had just been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. But see, God had something more great to show them in that he resurrected Lazarus, right? And that is the ways of God. We got to learn the ways of God. They're not our ways. They don't make sense to us in the normal way that we think, right? His ways are not our ways, you know? If he had just been there, Lazarus would not have been raised from the dead. All those who witnessed that would not have witnessed that, right? Yeah, maybe it would have been a little miracle, but man, to have somebody come back to life and to see that and to witness that, wow, that was something. That was something for Abraham. It was something for Mary and Martha, and it sure is something for the disciples here. Sometimes God waits for us to be desperate, because when we're desperate, we're vulnerable and we're a little more open to God showing up than if we figured it out ourselves. How many of you know that it is in our human nature to figure things out ourselves before we ask the Lord? That's walking in the flesh. The flesh wars against the spirit. The spirit says, you know, God's faithful. He's going to show up. Don't worry. These are guys that were with Jesus physically and witnessed all these things, and they are having issues. How much more are we going to have issues from time to time? It's in our human nature. And it is the Spirit's ability to dominate our soul lives and our flesh that God is after, you know? So, amen. Go, Jesus. So, when we're vulnerable, we're soft, we're trusting, we're childlike, like he says, be like a child, we're open to the Spirit. And remember, even the greatest of the prophets wanted to die. They were so hopeless. Just, you know, Elijah, kill me now. I mean, that's a little dramatic, right? How many of you know prophetic people can be dramatic, right? And we all can be that dramatic sometimes. Sometimes, really, when you're experiencing real life depression, take my life. I can't take it anymore. Really, you get to that point. And then how many of you know then God shows up in a way that you may not have noticed, or he came in camouflage. You know, he didn't come to Elijah in the winds and the rain and the volcanoes and all. He didn't come in that way. He came like a still small voice. He still comes in those quiet, soft, childlike moments when we're vulnerable to the Spirit. When we've said, okay, Uncle, I'm done. Now, God, what are you going to do? And he shows up. So, the thing that they feared in the storm, think about this. The thing that they feared wasn't the storm. The thing that they feared was Jesus, when Jesus came on the sea. He was not recognizable to them. Sometimes he comes to us, but he doesn't look like the Jesus we've known. Okay, when you're first a believer, man, that Jesus, he is so sweet. He is, isn't he? And he's so forgiving, and he's so kind, and he's so generous and so merciful, and he laughs at your mistakes. He just says, you know, the devil's come to rub it in, but I came to rub it out. Jesus is so good. He's our Savior. He's our Master. He's our Creator. Sometimes he comes in ways that cause us to grow, right? He comes as teacher. Well, here, you're going to learn a lesson here, Janine, right? Oh, I didn't know that Jesus when I first met Jesus. I didn't know the Jesus that took a whip to every idol that I had in my heart and in my mind. I didn't know that Jesus. The only one I knew was the nice Jesus. Oh, but I thought the Father was the one that was the disciplinarian. Not so. Jesus and the Father are one with the Spirit, right? So how many of you know God comes to us in ways we don't recognize? And he reveals himself. And what's the first thing he says in so many situations? Do not fear. Now, I have an inkling, you know, from the things that I shared about my life, about fear being a struggle. I have a kind of an idea that maybe we all struggle with that. Not maybe to some degree or another, but for me, it was a big one. I wasn't shy. I was a fighter. I was not one to be reluctant to engage in combat, right? Well, guess what? I'm not so much a fighter anymore. I'm turning into a lover. And and believe me, part of that is because, and I was telling this to Lydia last week, when I first came to the Lord, I moved in the prophetic way more than I do now. Because now, as a prophet, I could lay out the word of the Lord, man. And it was heavy, right? But as I became a pastor, oh, that changed a whole lot. I didn't recognize that Jesus, the one that holds hands forever, encourages. I was like, you know, let's do crisis and let's do it. And let's get on with it, right? But as a pastor, you learn to have mercy. You learn to have patience, right? You learn a whole lot of Jesus that you didn't know before. Because the Jesus I knew was thunder from heaven, cutting off ears, right? I'm not saying there is not a place for that, right? There is a place for stern warning, you know, when you move in that way. When you're saving somebody's life and they're about ready to jump off a cliff, you're not going to say, well, now, honey, I think it'll be all right. No, you stretch your arm out, you pray, you intercede, and you grab them by the neck. And if it hurts them too bad, you're saving their life. You're pulling them from the fire, right? So that's a different kind of Jesus too, you know? So just be prepared, because I think in this year, we're going to see a whole lot of Jesus that we didn't see before. Need to be open to that. And I'm excited about that. I'm really excited about that. When I think of what I lack personally, I say, oh man, I know what I'm lacking. I know, kind of having a hint of how Jesus is going to reveal himself to me. It's going to be where I lack. It's going to be what I'm missing. It's going to be what I'm devoid of. It's going to be character that needs to be, you know, refined in the Spirit of God, you know. And so I believe that he's going to be doing that this coming year for all of us. The storm that you're maybe in or been in previously or coming, right? That threatening water wants to be over your head, but it is under Jesus' feet. It is under Jesus' feet. He is victorious over all of our storms. He has your storm under control. What we do, our response, is to be like Peter, to trust him. Radically trust him. Have a firm belief in his reliability. Has he been reliable in your life? You bet. Will he continue? You bet. And when we have a question and he comes in ways we don't recognize, we can be like Peter and say, well, Lord, if that's you, command me. If it's you that's in this whole thing that you're dealing with me about, by your command, I know I can walk on water. I know I can walk with the waves coming at me. As long as my focus and my eyes are on you, I can do this. So think about it. Peter was willing to come out of the boat. We've said this story so many times, and really, to me, it's so rich just to visit it and to be reminded of how faithful he is. You know, Peter got out of the safety of the boat where others did not. Look, walking in faith, sometimes you sink a little bit, right? But he walked on the water. And we can defy our circumstances. We do not have to be swayed by the motions of the waves and the winds and all that. We don't have to be swayed by other people's understanding of who he is that stay in the boat. When you walk in faith, you're going to do something that's going to take a risk. Sometimes you're going to fail. It's okay. It's like Jim Murphy said, how do you know you're walking in faith? Because you're a risk taker. And when you walk out on a limb, if you hear the saw behind you, you know it's not the right move. But look what you gained if it is. You get to say, I was in this. I thought I was going to die. My life was upended. I was sick to my stomach. I could not stand the motion of it. And you know what? God saved me. And God can save you. See, everything we go through is a benefit for others. Everything. That's what Jesus modeled. That's what we model as we walk in the Lord. Look, you've been through cancer. I'm your buddy. I will go to war for you because I know God can heal it. You've been delivered of addiction. I'm your man. I'm your woman. I believe God can set you free. You know what I'm saying? You've been abused physically, sexually, whatever, fill in the blank. You're going to have a heart for those that are abused. And you know, you're going to tell them, you can do this. I'm a miracle. And you can overcome this. God can heal you from the inside out. See, so many times when we go through these processes, we think that it's going to be forever. Can I just tell you, it is not God's will that you are lame or disabled. That his will for you is to be whole. It may not be perfect. Nobody's going to be perfect. But God's will for you is to be whole. I'm not talking just physically, because I do believe in physical healing as well. But spiritually, we are all destined to have an overcoming, victorious spirit over all the things that come against us. And you know, if you think of it and you're going through, you got to be dangerous for the enemy. You are dangerous. If you're not dangerous, he's not going to mess with you. He doesn't have to. You're already doing it yourself, self-sabotaging, right? All right. So again, I want to just end with this, that in the Greek, trust, the word is pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S, and it's often translated as faith. Now, Ozzy's been saying that up at the pulpit for many weeks now, that in the Old Testament, where we would look for faith, it's trust. The word trust is there. It's more in the New Testament that we see the word faith, but they are really synonymous, faith and trust, okay? It's confidence to believe in or trust in or to have faith in. It's to cling to rely, on and to believe in. And when Jesus says, come, like he did with Peter, our ability to walk on top of that storm is determined by our eyesight and our focus on Jesus. And just like Peter, when he said in this story, Lord, save me, immediately Jesus saved him. You do not have to have some flowery, eloquent prayer. Sometimes your prayer, when you're in it, is just help, right? Sometimes you're just like calling out, Jesus. But in verses 22 and verses 27, it says immediately. When it is the right time, immediately God shows up. Now, we know Peter walked in water, right? Peter was all wet. But the Thomases in the boat were all dry. Right? Anything significant that we do with God, for God, we do it with risk. And in here, in the story, Jesus talks about their little faith. And again, I don't think that little faith, I don't think he was mocking that or, talking down to them about having little faith. Look, little faith is better than no faith. And it's way better than the sin of unbelief, right? So, look, if you have a little faith, he'll give you more. And I believe that Jesus in his humanity, when he was considering what had happened to John the Baptist, that in his grief and in his mourning, he appreciated a little faith. He appreciated it. He didn't condemn them for it. And so, you know, having a little faith is precious to God. You know, I tell my family often, because we are a crying family, in case you haven't noticed, that tears, when we're in those situations, God holds precious, puts them in a bottle. I swear I have a storefront full up there in heaven. But that's also healing, you know? So don't be afraid to let it rip once in a while. Don't be afraid to let and just say, you know, Jesus, help me, save me in the midst of all this, you know? So, amen.